As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You just got called up to the big league, son. Welcome to the show. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Headset?
Well, I need a headset because Guns N' Roses is on.
Here, get one here.
Everything's attached here.
Oh, well. I've heard this song before.
It's a sports show. He comes in to listen to the music.
Well, when Guns N' Roses fires up, you know, you got to work with it.
Not really. It's not like you haven't heard the song before. It's not like you won't. You probably have it on your iPod or whatever you have.
I do.
There you go. So just cue it up. Away you go. Have lots of fun. John Shannon will join us in a few minutes. He's in FLA, where the managing generals of the National Hockey League are meeting to discuss the future of the game. 3-on-3 overtime, goaltender interference among the topics being discussed. I think it's time we also increase the nets to the size of soccer nets.
No. You decrease the size of the goalie equipment. You don't have to make the nets.
Well, they supposedly are doing that, and I don't notice any difference.
Well, in your brilliance, I listened a couple weeks ago, and you made a great point. You watched Ken Dryden. He was 6'4", and you could actually see this thing behind him called the netting.
Well, yeah.
You know?
It's not that big. You know, it's just the pads were little.
Right, and they were... I'm not saying the pads then were great, but, you know, there's an in-between I think we could get to.
Well, were goaltenders getting hurt all the time back in that day?
I don't know about all the time. I know they didn't like the shots up by their collarbones and stuff.
Well, tough it out. You want to be a goaltender? You're going to get hurt.
Yeah, it's a big piece of frozen rubber.
I was at Target when I was a kid, and I had bruises all over me all winter.
Right. I elected not to go in goal because I'm a coward.
Yeah.
You pick your spots.
Well, I mean, it's part of the deal.
It is part of the
deal. You get hit with a shot, ow, it hurts.
Yes, it does. It's supposed to hurt, you would think, but there's got to be a happy medium between.
Of course, goaltenders today, I mean, they only play like 60, 65 games, you know, at best.
Right.
You know, they're all a bunch of babies anyway.
Correct.
They're like starting pitchers in baseball. Four-man rotation. Let's go. Tough it out.
And then if you're an outfielder, don't sneeze, right? Pilar got hurt sneezing yesterday. That is so baseball. That is so baseball.
It's only the Blue Jays could have that happen to them.
And then the guy playing second base breaks his collarbone diving for a ball. Another great day in Dunedin.
Well, stuff happens. Speaking of baseball, Pete Rose has applied for a reinstatement, which would put him on the ballot for the Hall of Fame, where I believe he would get in right away. Oh, look at you. You got a headset now. Aren't you happy?
Thanks. Oh, it's a Bob-esque headset, too. I really like this one.
It's a behind-the-head headset.
It's Sid's? Oh.
Ugh. Yeah, you know, tell him where that's been. You may want to have that.
No wonder it smells like pork.
Like pork?
Yeah. Sid's headset smells like pork.
Would you be in favor of Pete Rose being reinstated?
You know what? I'd have to say yes. For a long time, no, but now I'll go with yes, just because it's time. But I know he committed the cardinal sin of baseball.
Okay, wait a sec. Turn your headset around. It's on upside down.
It's supposed to be this way?
Yeah.
Oh, that's much better. It actually works now.
Now it stays over, and it's supposed to go over the top of your ears.
Not the bottom. But it's not supposed to smell like pork.
Anyway, yeah. There's Pistol Pete.
Yeah, for a long time, I was very much against Pete Rose going into the Hall of Fame, but it's actually funny. I don't mean to compare crimes, but when you compare what he did, supposedly did, and I'm assuming that he didn't bet against his own team, I think what he did is far less a crime than what the PED guys did since his banishment from baseball. I think what they did was really slapped the history of the game in the face, where I think if he bet on his own team, it's not a good thing, but he's not screwing with the history of the game, I think, the way that guys like Mark McGwire did and Sammy Sosa did and Alex Rodriguez did.
Half of America bets on sports every day.
Mm-hmm.
The notion that Pete Rose actually bet on games is reprehensible only in the eyes of baseball because there's a rule. And I accept it. Mm-hmm. I think he should have been, he should have paid a price for it, but not the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it being that offensive. And I quite frankly agree with you. A guy who takes PEDs, especially now that there are rules
mm-hmm.
for against performance enhancing drugs, to give guys a 50 game suspension is crazy. Either you have a rule or you don't have a rule. If you want to get PEDs out of the game, then if you take and we catch you, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pete Rose got one. He didn't get a 50 game warning and then a 100 game warning. He got a lifetime ban the first time he got caught. That Pete lied about it for an extended period of time is, I mean, we would rather he didn't, but really, is that the factor? I just like to see. I'd be fascinated to see what his name on the ballot would do. Would the baseball media respond to Pete Rose's name on the ballot the way they've responded to Roger Clemens' name on the ballot? You know, Bond's name on the mm-hmm. ballot, McGuire's name on the ballot. All the guys that have been alleged or proven to take PEDs have been summarily dismissed as Hall of Fame candidates.
I think you summed it up best when you said about 50% of America gambles every day on sports. Well, not 50% of Americans juice every day, I would like to think. So I think that is why I think the writers would vote for him. And there is a forgiveness for him because a lot of people place a bet. Not everybody goes and juices up in a bathroom stall.
We know that Michael Jordan bets on golf almost every day of his life. I don't believe that Michael Jordan went and played baseball because he got banished from the NBA for gambling. I think that's a story. I don't think there's any truth in it. I don't know, but I don't believe there's any truth in it. And the fact of the matter is, I don't care what Michael Jordan does with his free time.
Mm-hmm.
Casinos are legal in, what, 40-something states in the United States? You can gamble anywhere now. It's not a crime. It may not be the smartest thing to do, but a significant portion of the population does it on a regular basis. If they didn't, these casinos would be shutting down. And they're not. So I'd like to see Rose on the ballot. I just don't know whether the Baseball Writers Association of America would treat him the same way they've treated Mark McGwire.
I don't think they would, but there's another factor when it comes to Pete Rose, likability factor. A lot of people don't like Pete Rose, and that kind of sticks with people. And even people that say, you know what, Pete Rose should be in the Hall. I don't like him, but he should be in the Hall of Fame. So there's still a lot of people who've interacted with him over the years, and I know you've had your interactions with him over the years, that don't like him. I'm interested to hear what Bob Ryan has to say just about his interactions with Pete Rose over the years and how he looks at him as a person and if that would affect a vote and if he thinks that would affect how people would vote for Pete Rose.
Well, Pete isn't the friendliest guy in the world, and he's a little bit arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
But I've dealt with a lot of arrogant people in my time. My opinion on Pete Rose is neutral. And I've talked to him. I've met him. I've sat at a table with him for several hours. He's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wouldn't be my first choice as a dinner companion.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't offend me. He's just one of those guys who's, you know, a little arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And in this business, you've met all kinds of them.
Yep.
It happens. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means that they have a high opinion of themselves. And Pete Rose was as good a baseball player as I've ever seen. I don't think I could name another guy that overall in my lifetime was a better baseball player than Pete Rose.
He could play every position, and I think he did, but with the exception of catcher by the end of his career. Like, I mean, they'd throw him anywhere towards the end of his career, I know that.
Well, as an all-round player and hustle and, mm-hmm. and effort, and I mean, you could never question Pete Rose. I mean, Pete Rose was just a great, great player. he would have been, if absent the gambling thing, a no-brainer first ballot Hall of Famer.
The ultimate no-brainer.
I don't know whether he would have got, would have beaten, was it Tom Seaver has the record?
Yeah, 98.2 or 98.2.
I don't know whether he would have beaten that.
And the only reason he wouldn't.
But he would have been close.
I think the only reason he wouldn't beat that is because a lot of guys didn't like him. But I mean, if you're filling out a ballot and let's say the gambling thing didn't happen and you didn't vote for Pete Rose on the first ballot, that's your problem, not his.
100%.
You know?
Now, how do the baseball writers view this in the context of the steroid era that we're in right now, the performance-enhancing drugs era? That would be fascinating. I'd love to see it almost just because of the, how are they going to deal with it?
And how many of the writers voting now lived through and saw the PED era, but only really saw Pete Rose on YouTube clips, you know, and really...
Well, there'd be some.
You know, can't kind of put what Rose was into perspective. This is a guy that basically hit forever, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
If you've got a ballot, even if you haven't seen the guy, mm-hmm. Baseball is one of those great games where there are sufficient statistics to be able to evaluate and compare athletes by almost any statistic that you want to pull up. Pete Rose is a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's no question about it. If you're going to take his baseball skill set and use that as the sole criteria for voting, which I believe you should, I understand there were guys who won't vote for him. Mm-hmm. Like guys didn't vote for Robin Roberts and guys didn't. There are lots of players who guys didn't like. Steve Carlton was yes. another guy the media didn't like. I think you're right. A lot of guys would just say he was an a-hole. Well, I'm not going to vote for him.
It's the only reason couldn't vote for him if there was no gambling. That's it would be a personal vendetta. The only reason. Because, like you said, and I know so many people love to crunch numbers nowadays, and even if they didn't see Rose, the numbers, like you said, alone speak for themselves. But if Mr. Manfred did reinstate him into the game,
I'd love to see it.
It would be the ultimate debate leading up to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, my
vote.
Gosh.
And I will point out that the All-Star Game's in Cincinnati this year. That'd be something.
Ooh. Yeah, but he wouldn't be on the ballot this year.
No, but could you imagine if he was...
Well, I guess he could
be
on the ballot.
Reinstated by that time?
Next fall.
Well, if he's reinstated, he'd go on the ballot right away. He'd be on the ballot for when they vote in November, December, and it's revealed in January. So we'd know by January, but I think I could not imagine if he were reinstated, and I know this is going way out on a limb saying this, but if he were reinstated before the All-Star Game in Cincinnati, what that would look like in Cincinnati. And look, the possibility of that happening is probably less than 0.001%, but that would be a party.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this new commissioner has had some interesting new ideas. He is not as staid. You know, it's interesting because we have the same thing with the NBA. Two new commissioners in the NBA and Major League Baseball, and both of them have attempted to put their stamp on the game very quickly.
If you wanted to win the fans over, you reinstate Pete Rose. I mean, he wasn't voted onto the All-Century team because people didn't like him. He was a good player, and the average fan, I think, has a lot of respect for him as a ball player.
Well, if you watched him play, you know. And if you just look at his statistics, then you know. There's Mr. Manfred up on the screen, for those of you who were watching on television, the new commissioner of Major League Baseball.
And then my question would, of course, be, does Rose go in the Hall of Fame as a Cincinnati Red or a Montreal Expo? I would like to think he wears the Expo's hat.
Well, you forget that. He's going to go in as a Cincinnati Red. That's where he played the vast majority of his career. His best years were in Cincinnati.
It was a good four-month stretch with the Expos back in 84, I think it was.
Yeah, well.
It was 84, I remembered fondly.
Was it 84?
Yeah, it was 84, yeah.
Okay. Is Mr. Shannon with us yet? Are we waiting for him? Oh, we're waiting for him to call? Oh, good.
He's on Florida time, so he'll be calling whenever he wants.
Oh, he forgot his phone? Where did he forget his phone? In Toronto? Oh, my God. Shannon goes to Florida, forgets his phone. How do you forget your phone? He lives on his telephone.
His Twitter account's going to be pretty awesome the next couple of days.
Nothing. I don't use my BlackBerry at all.
I like that you use your phone as a phone. I respect that, Bob.
That's what I use it for. It's a phone.
Correct. It's not a toy.
I don't play games on it. I don't You know, I don't tweet on it. Well, every once in a while when I'm on the road. But I've never forgotten my phone.
You know what I do when I want to get a hold of somebody?
It'd be the last thing you'd forget. It's like after your wallet. So, I mean, when you do your checklist, I don't know, do you do a checklist when you go away?
Mental one.
Yeah. Like, okay, I gotta have money. I got to have my wallet with my credit cards in it. Mm-hmm. I need my passport if I'm going across the border. Mm-hmm. I need my phone.
Right, and your keys.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, I don't have a driver like you do, Bob, to get me to the airport. I have to go to the park and fly.
Really?
No, I don't go to the park and fly. Come on. Seriously.
Get a limo.
I do. I'm like a young Ric Flair in there. If it's a work thing, I get the car service. If it's me, I take the park and fly. Or I make my brother drive me. Something like that.
I was going to give credit to the limo service that we had. It was very good. We used them for the first time.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, but I'm not 100% sure of the name.
I know the name, and it's the best name ever because it's so easy to remember.
What, Yorkville?
No, the one we use at work. It's called the car service.
Oh, no, we don't. I didn't use that.
Oh, that's the one I use. Shout out to Rita and the car service. They're very nice.
Oh, okay. I'm sure they're good.
Yeah.
But these guys came. They were very courteous, nice cars, and then they picked us up at the airport, and they were there when we landed.
Yeah.
And we walked out, and there they were.
That's what Rita's gang's like, too. They're great.
They were there.
Makes you feel special, doesn't it?
Well, no, but when you travel,
yeah,
you've got a lot of things on your mind, and you don't need hassles. You need things to operate smoothly. I have a very low stress level.
You know what I love about flying? And you're going to like this as well. They make you turn off your phone. So I get away from my phone for 2 hours, 3 hours, however long the flight is, and no one else can go on their phone either. Now, if they lift that and let people go on their phones on a plane, it is going to be awful. It'll be just an Airbus chatterbox.
Well, I know.
So, and guess what will happen the first 2 months or something? Guess where I'm calling from?
Yeah, the plane.
The plane.
Oh, yeah, everybody will call just because they're on a plane.
Exactly. So then I'll have to keep my headphones in even longer. Because when I fly, I just like to be relaxed, listen to some music, read a book, watch a movie, whatever. But the best part is nobody can get a hold of me. No one. Because I'm away from my phone and I'm not accessible. It's like living in the pre-cellular phone era. You know, when you had to... when you were going out for the night and you'll say, okay, I'll be back at midnight. And then until midnight, you were on hiatus and no one could get a hold of you.
Right.
Now, you go out, I'll be back at midnight, and then you got to field 19 calls between then and midnight, so your night's ruined.
Well, so we went to the Bahamas. When you go to the Bahamas, you got to get a plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got a plan for my phone. I think it cost me $45 or something for the week. It wasn't that much.
Roaming plan, right?
I don't know what it's called. So I get X number of texts that I can use. And the only reason I have this plan is so that I can communicate with the other people in my party. Because mm-hmm. we're at a big resort and people get split up every now and again. You want to know, where are you? Like my wife would go down to the beach, the pool, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be the first one down there. I'd come sometime later. I have to text her and say, where are you?
See, mistake on your part. You should have lived like if it was 1992, ditch the phones, and you figure it out. You wander. You figure it out. I'll meet you there at 6.
My whole vacation would have been wandering then.
No. You just live like you take the DeLorean back to 1992, and you'll say, I'll meet you at the pool at 10.
You don't know. No, there's 11 pools.
Well, I'll meet you at pool 6 at 11.
Yeah, not if there's no chairs at pool 6. Okay. You get chairs where you get chairs.
Well, you'd eventually find them. They get a survey.
Well, that's the whole point. I'm not sure I ever would have found them.
Would have made why for a better vacation.
Well, but that's what I was about to say is that's what I used my phone for. I don't know if I didn't make a phone call back to Toronto. I didn't make a phone call to anybody other than people that were in my party. If they didn't answer the text, I called. And that was it. And I was perfectly fine with that.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
I'm all for that.
Apparently, John Shannon has surfaced.
On another phone, on a
payphone.
Well,
I don't know. Where's your phone, Shannon?
It's in the Netherlands.
Do you feel naked without it?
Where is your phone?
I have no idea, Bob.
You've lost it?
Yes.
Did you take it with you to Florida?
It did not get on the plane.
Bummer.
How did you get on? How is it you left your house without your phone?
Oh, no. Now you see you have not connected the dots properly.
It's somewhere between your house and the gate that you left.
Correct.
Ah, oh, bummer, John.
Correct.
Bummer.
I know. Tell me about it.
Dude, you must feel nude.
Well, you know what? It took me about 12 hours to realize that I was back in 1989. And I don't have a phone.
But, are you growing a mullet and getting a Trans Am?
We've survived today.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the end of the world. We found you. Did you borrow a phone?
No, I ran back to my room realizing that I was 10 minutes late.
Well, thank you very much for that. We appreciate you running.
No problem.
I'm envisioning you running back to your room.
Me too.
Isn't that a scary thought?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen you actually.
I ran off the plane to the point at Pearson Airport where I thought my phone was.
Oh no!
And then ran back.
Oh no!
Oh I know. It hasn't been a fun day or so.
No.
So it's lost as far as you know at this point.
Oh no! I think as I said. I mean, I've done all I need to do, and when I come home, I'll get another phone.
Shani, can you just, we're on the air live, as you know. Do you want to put out a brief description of your phone to anybody who may be listening between your house and Pearson?
I wouldn't dare do that.
No? Okay. If anyone has seen a phone at the airport, it's John Shannon.
It is gone. It is gone. It might be in a third world country by now.
Robert, did you back up all your information?
Oh, I have done that, Robert.
Okay, good.
I'm not worried about the information or the directory or the pictures, but it's the 72 hours of I feel naked.
Well, I understand.
Well, you imagine, John, if the public gets a hold of Bob's cell number, if it was in there. I mean, it would be madness.
Madness.
Yeah.
It would be madness. But don't worry, Bob. It's protected. It's protected, Bob.
Oh, so you got a password on there?
Protected, yeah. Everything's protected.
Okay, attaboy. So somebody's got a phone with a bunch of information on it that they can't get access to.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless they meet an Uber nerd.
Everything's been canceled today. So.
Oh, way to go, Shani.
All right, well.
Very responsible.
I mean, it could be worse. It could be my credit cards.
Well, those you can cancel easy.
Yeah, but, you know, not before they buy a ticket to Antigua.
Well, no. Oh, that'd be an interesting
first place, world problems, people. First world problems.
Yeah, no. Exactly. No, we'll survive. We'll survive.
All right. What, if anything, took place today in these managing general meetings?
Today was a table-setting day, which is to say that...
they played golf.
Oh, no, they haven't played golf. These guys, you know, I'm sure a couple have played golf, but not many. But today was breaking into three groups, all discussing the same scenarios, whether that be... goalie interference or a couple of other, and how to handle the third goalies. And tomorrow the recommendations will be made and come down. They'll talk about how and if they want to change overtime, how and if they want to change video review on goalie interference, how they want to deal with injured goaltenders in scenarios like we saw in Florida. But really in the end, as I'm waiting for Bob to jump on this one, this is a couple of days of tweaking because the game's in pretty good shape.
Well, no, it's not. The scoring is ridiculously low.
Yeah, but as long as the scoring chances are up, Bob, that means goaltending's okay, and that's not a bad thing.
No.
John, can you ask them to please debate and implement making the goalie equipment smaller on my behalf?
Well, they have tried, and, I mean, that has been Kay Whitmore's sole goal in life for a long time and has succeeded to a certain level. But as you know, Kenny, I mean, everything has to, like that affects the players has to be approved by the players too. And that's just not going to happen.
And that's
what's not going to happen.
And then that's my worry with 3-on-3. Is there any worries that the PA would oppose it? I mean, wear and tear on a body? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is a concern.
Now, do they know that they split revenues with the owners? Are they aware of that? And that 3-on-3 creates scoring opportunities and entertainment?
Interesting you say that. Partnerships. You know, partnerships and the such are something that I think that most people understand, but there's still a group of people that think that there's owners and players, and yet they are 50-50 partners, and I think the more you realize that, the more things will improve.
The issue that most people are focusing on, of course, is this split overtime with, you know, four skaters on four and then down to 3-on-3. Mm-hmm. It's been used to some effect in the American Hockey League this year, which is why the NHL is actually looking at it.
Yep.
And in the American Hockey League, after 3 minutes of overtime, they will go, they'll take one skater aside off the ice for the after the first whistle after 3 minutes.
Right. The key thing there, Bob, is, yes. is the first whistle.
Yeah.
Well, that and
because
that's
the first whistle could occur at the at the 4 minute and 58 second mark.
Or later.
Well, no, because it's a 5 minute. Well, I guess it's a 7 minute overtime.
No, it's a 7 minute
it's
overtime.
Seven. It's seven. Yeah.
You know, and that's that. I wonder if that becomes an issue.
And well, I think it will. I think it will, and I think that, in fact, I think, you know, there was some grumbling and rumbling today that if we like three-on-three that much as a group, why not go to three-on-three right away?
Well.
Because then they'd find a way to coach around that and ruin it, too. Seriously.
Well, they'll do it either way. I mean, look, I think starting 4-on-4 and then going to 3-on-3 is a logical step. Mm-hmm. That's been tried. Yep. It's proven to be successful, not completely, but it's much better. I guess the only suggestion I was made is, can you blow the whistle after 3 minutes?
But what okay, you can blow the whistle after 3 minutes, but what happens if I'm on a breakaway?
I don't care.
At the 3 minute mark.
Well, what happens if you're on a breakaway at 19:59 of the third period in a tie game?
I think that is a customary length of a period. You know, if you're suggesting then that you have a 3 minute period and a 4 minute period, then that's different.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the first whistle after 4 minutes. That's pretty simple, isn't it?
Well, but the problem becomes, again, as John said, when you're playing 4-on-4, the number of whistles tend to be fewer and
Correct.
Further between.
Correct.
Yeah.
Therefore, you could only wind up playing 30 seconds of 3-on-3 and not accomplishing what this rule is set out to accomplish, which is end the game before a shootout.
Well,
the shootout should be the last possible gasp.
Well, it is. In the American League right now, after they go to their 7-minute OT, I'm reading it here, 23.1% of the games end up going to a shootout, whereas in the NHL this year, 56.8%.
The numbers have been inverted.
Correct.
You know, it's 70% are solved and 30% aren't, as opposed to 30% are solved and 70% aren't.
So, do you see the GMs approving this and going for 3-on-3, John?
I think there's an appetite to try it, but again, the process and trying. If you're talking about a 7 minute period, there are going to have to be issues involving the players. If you don't change it to a 7 minute period, then you have an opportunity and you won't need player approval.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, that might have some, and that's why I think a lot of guys say, "Well, let's just go to 3-on-3. Let's just go to 3-on-3 right away." Now that will be that was not a major discussion today. There was some, I think, sidebars with it. But that will be a bigger discussion tomorrow, as will the bringing to the bigger group the whole concept of video review on these goalie interferences.
Would you go to 3-on-3 for 5 minutes or seven?
Five. See, anytime you're going to add 2 minutes, you're going to have to get player association approval. And I think that's what they're trying to avoid.
I think that's – I just don't see how, if you're in the PA, you just can't rubber stamp that. It just makes sense. You watch some of the 3-on-3 stuff in the American League, it is wide open. It's like watching shinny. It's so entertaining.
Well, heck, last Thursday night, Bruins-Tampa basically ended up being a 4-on-3 power play and then going 3-on-3, and it was
– Oh, it was wild.
It was electric for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah,
I like you said, Shanny, I just don't get why there's still this faction out there who it's kind of us against them. These guys are in it together. I mean, that's why this World Cup's happening. How can they not see it for something like 3-on-3?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a question for somebody on the player side.
One of the other things being discussed apparently is goaltender interference. Here we go again. I mean, we're on this topic every few years. You know, you change it, then you change it back, then you change it again. Is there something going on in the game today that needs to be addressed, in your opinion?
Well, for me, no. And what we're talking about and what they brought up today and showed all the managers and other league people, probably between 125 and 130 examples that have existed so far during the regular season. And within that group of 130, five were controversial. Five. And five would have gone to another level of video review. So the question is it worth slowing the game down? Is it worth changing the call on the ice for those five calls?
Well, the answer
becomes the discussion point. We are talking a universally small percentile of calls. Is it the wrong thing to do? Or is it the right thing to do? The one thing I can tell you is any discussion about the referee having a monitor and the referee making the final call.
Forget that.
Will never happen.
Yeah, forget that. That's nonsense.
Never you know what?
You've got an infrastructure going. Right now. The system works as well as any replay. I mean, it's the one thing the NHL has done right from day one.
Agreed.
And you don't screw with it. You don't mess with it.
Right now in that office in Toronto, they can sync up four different videos of the same play, four different videos simultaneously, and look at four different angles. I mean, it's a phenomenal system, and they deserve credit, as you said, Bob, for doing the right thing and learning from it. So and creating a consistent level of calls. If you end up having the referee do it, you're going to have 36 different interpretations.
Right.
You need one interpretation.
Is there any, if you're going to add this review, I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone here. Why not make it a minimum 60-second break? We're going to review. There will be a 60-second timeout. The television networks can go to a commercial break, and they don't make the announcement on the decision until after the
like American Idol?
I don't watch
American Idol. Find out after the break.
Well, why not kill two birds with one stone?
You know.
Bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. The problem is that there will people that will say
we
need more than 60.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. You get the 60-second break away. Then you come back.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And then you show them the replay 15 times.
Well, I know TV networks that love to sell time that would love to have the time.
Wouldn't they? Seriously, this sounds like, you know, what will the referee's decision be? We'll be back after the break to find out.
It's a fantastic idea myself.
I think I'd want to host hockey in that situation.
I'm copywriting
live host
the idea.
Up in the stands, like Seacrest.
Oh, yeah, good. Let's bring Seacrest in. Like, he hasn't got enough to do.
Look, that's actually not a bad idea.
You know, Seacrest?
Your idea.
It's a very good
idea. Shanny, you're right.
Why are you surprised about it?
If you want to sell, come on now, Bob. Shanny, you're right. If you want to sell time, I mean, that's 60 seconds that no one would turn away from.
Nobody's going anywhere.
If I'm a TV guy, and by the way, I used to be.
Yes.
I want to stay there for the drama.
Well,
yes.
I don't want to go to commercial.
Oh, you don't want to go to commercial?
No, he wants to show the replay over and over and over again.
Yeah, but
I want to stay and review it, and I want to stay and look at the 14 different angles. I want to stay and dissect it with my own guys and then wait for the call.
But if you can sell the 60 seconds, you give the referee's decision, then you review how they got to it.
As Kenny, as you well know, and Bob, you know too, if there's a decision between a production person and a salesperson, the salesperson usually wins.
Well, giddy up.
Yeah.
Shannon, we hope you find your phone, and I don't think you will.
It's gone, Bob.
So
it's gone. Well, I'm never going to have a cell phone again in my life.
Enjoy the freedom of it, John, for the next 3 days.
John
Seriously.
Shannon is a liar, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
Talk to you later.
John Shannon from Boca or someplace nearby. David Branch will join us next. Belleville Bulls, gone. Over. Finito la musica. Primetime continues in a moment on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, team, before the hour, got to go fast here. Change coming to the Ontario Hockey League specifically. Belleville Bulls, gone. At the end of this year, they will go to Hamilton. Plymouth Whalers, gone. They're going to go to Flint, Michigan. I mean, the truth is, they didn't succeed in the markets they were in. I don't know what Flint, Michigan is going to bring. But Hamilton is a real interesting choice. Hamilton has a history of junior hockey, but they've also, the last couple of franchises they've had in there, failed.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make that work? Here's the president of the CHL and commissioner of the Ontario Hockey League. Here's David Branch. Hi, David.
Good evening, Robert. Ken.
Hi, Dave.
It can't be good news anytime franchises decide to move, and neither one, I don't think, is moving, you'd have to be honest, because they got a better deal somewhere else. They moved because they couldn't succeed in the market they were in. Isn't that fair?
That's fair. I mean, first of all, with Plymouth, that situation, Bob, was where Mr. Karmanis, Peter Karmanis, had owned that team since its inception, that franchise,
right,
for approximately 30 years. And it was through his good graces that it was able to economically survive. And Mr. Karmanis, you know, is now making plans and adjusting things as he goes forward with his life, and so the franchise was sold to another individual, which will see it transfer to Flint. The fact of the matter is, you know, Plymouth has always been a challenge. And then in the case of Belleville, I mean, it's a great hockey community. We do not in any way deny that. It was just has been a case for several years where the facility there just did not allow the team to be viable. And you know, Bob, and we've all seen it, and we don't like to see it, and nor did we want to be party to it, where at any time we tried to leverage a city, new building, or we have to move, or a major, you know, refurbishment. And at any rate, it is sad to leave a market like Belleville. Moving into Hamilton, as you described, is not without its challenges. And but that said, we feel we're better positioned than certainly the other situations that we saw ourselves in Hamilton, with first of all a very strong owner in Michael Andlauer, who has owned the Bulldogs in the American Hockey League. Our brand as the OHL has never been stronger, and so the ability to market and promote in our broadcast arrangements through Rogers Sportsnet nationally, regionally, and locally really enable us to move forward, and we've been very fortunate with having the best young players in our league, and that was largely through the enhancements of the programs we offer our players, including our scholarship program.
So will the Hamilton team play at COPS?
Yes, they are scheduled to play at COPS. Mr. Andlauer has really, for all intents and purposes, 3 more years on that arena lease, Bob.
Does that concern you, given that that is a 16,000, whatever it is, seat building, which is pretty large for an OHL franchise?
Yeah, you know what? It is too large, the truth be stated. I mean, as I said to someone last week, Bob, if I was faced with one of two problems, a building not big enough or a building too big, I think it's obvious which way you would lean. But you know, we're hopeful that through curtaining off, possibly, you can create the necessary environment. But I also do know that there is strong interest to consider the development of another arena facility, which might be better suited in terms of the number of seats in that for an OHL franchise, et cetera.
That doesn't exist, though, David, does it?
No, it doesn't. And there's no promises, Bob. But I think, you know, if there's a will, there's a way. And now's the time that we've entered into some discussion, albeit on a very preliminary stage.
David, I know that they've been looking for an arena upgrade in Belleville for a long time. Do you think the OHL, could you guys have done more to try to keep the Bulls in Belleville, or had you guys maxed out on your efforts?
Well, I mean, I guess you can always say you can do more, Ken. I give credit to Mr. Gord Simmons, who was the principal owner there, and he worked at it. The previous owner, and Gord Simmons has been the owner for the last 11 years. The previous owner, the founder, Dr. Bob Vaughn, I can recall being at meetings with the city back in his day. I mean, it's been an ongoing challenge, and we have seen that facility, you know, kind of inch its way down the standings in terms of where it was in the pecking order of facilities. And it arguably was 19th, possibly 20th out of 20 teams. So, you know, when the opportunity of Hamilton presented itself, coupled with the challenges in Belleville, it just seemed to be a natural fit and the decision to move forward.
What about the arena in Flint? I'm reading it. It's an older arena, but I take it there's been work on it. It opened in 69. What's the arena in Flint like?
You know what, Ken? We had a lot of concern when the Flint situation developed. We went down there. There was a special committee put together. The arena facility is actually remarkably in good shape in terms of its age, as you point out. Huge footprint. I mean, it's massive. And, I mean, it's got a great bowl, and there's an undertaking to completely refurbish dressing room, training sessions, video room, and the like, and media facilities and that. And it'll be a real strong, positive addition to our league. And I would say in its current state right now, it's actually better than the Plymouth Rink. So, no, we have no concerns with the building, and the new owner there has committed to certainly bringing it up to standards in a couple of the key areas I described.
Is this part of junior hockey, seeing teams in transition? Because, I mean, you have to make money at some point. And I take it when you look at Belleville and just the capacity of the arena, around 3,000, and, you know, you're doling out money, you're paying for college education in the case of some players. I mean, it had to be a tough go for Mr. Simmons for a while, I'm thinking.
It has been. And you're right. I mean, what you need in our small markets is a complete synergy among the municipal government, the owner, the team, and the league, and the fans, obviously, and working together. And, you know, it's not a signal that suddenly small markets, you know, need to be concerned necessarily. You know, another small market, to give you an example, is Owen Sound. It's even smaller than Belleville. I mean, the passion and the support and the working together with all the various elements is as good as you could hope for. And it's strong. And the Owen Sound attack need not worry, as an example. But, I mean, hey, there's a lot of communities from the size of a Peterborough and Kingston and Guelph even. You know, you've got to make it work, and you've got to have everyone pulling in the same direction.
Next year, the Belleville Bulls will play in Hamilton. The Plymouth Whalers will move to Flint, Michigan. Change is inevitable. Thank you, Mr. Branch.
Okay, thank you, Robert. Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, David.
David Branch, the president of the Canadian Hockey League and commissioner of the OHL. I don't know anything about Flint, Michigan. I have no idea whether they'll support a junior hockey team.
Roger and me, that's what I know about Flint, Michigan, courtesy Michael Moore.
Exactly. Hamilton, I have grave concerns.
Oh, the old Dukes couldn't make it work. But, I mean, you go back to the Hamilton Red Wings. That was a vibe. But that's going way
back. That's going way back. I mean, I can remember watching Hamilton Red Wing games on, Pitt Martin.
Do you remember Lowell McDonald?
Sure, I remember Lowell McDonald.
Pictou County, Nova Scotia.
Farm team of the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
Used to play in that, was it called the Civic Arena? I don't remember what it was called. But it had,
you got me.
Remember it had the posts? I used to watch the games on CHCH Channel 11. When I was a kid, and they had two posts, and the camera, it would block out the play.
Like the old Halifax Forum. The obstructed view.
Yeah. Anyway.
I hope they can make a goal, but Hamilton always seems
so
to be a
too,
challenge.
But it is a funny market. It's kind of a medium-sized market, and one of those markets that, I mean, do you go to junior games?
You know what? You curtain off the upper bowl. You get 4,000 or 5,000 in the lower bowl. It'd be a good atmosphere.
At 4,000 or 5,000, they'd be thrilled.
They would be. But, I mean, in Belleville, you're packing the arena, you're getting 3,000. That's tough.
Yeah, and they weren't packing the arena. Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe will join us. We'll talk about Pete Rose. And Patrick Ruby of Vice Sports on Demora Smith, unanimously reelected. That's coming up on Primetime.